Welcome back, everyone, to Red Spotlight Entertainment, our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. reaction commentary series. The show that isn't ended for the long time. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan that wants to come back on here and talk endlessly about one of our favorite shows of all time. I'm Alexis, and I'm joined, of course, here, as always, by David. Last week, we talked about episode number 11 already of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Well,
No, 12.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, 12. And this week we're going to be tackling kind of a big one. If you can see the image behind me, that's pretty much the shot for what this episode is going to be. The parting shot moment. I believe this episode is also called Parting Shot. And for those longtime fans, you know exactly what this episode is. This was written by Paul Zajewski, and directed by Michael Zinberg. Originally broadcast on March 22nd, 2016, to 2.88 million viewers. Of course, a returning cast here: Clark Gregg, Ming-Na Wen, Ming-Na Wen, Ian DeCastaker, Elizabeth Henstridge, Nick Blood, Adrian Palicki, and Henry Simmons. I forgot Brett Dalton is not in this episode. Yeah. I don't think he is. Guest appearances by Powers Booth as Gideon Malik, William Sadler as Matthew Alice, Bethany Joy Lentz as Stephanie Malik, Ravil Eisenhoff as Anton Petrov, Ivo Nandi as Duval, Andrei Hulis as Dmitry Olsenko, and Christoph Conrad as Androvich. Interesting colorful names that we have there. Here is some inside information for the episode that we have here. In March 2016, Marvel announced that the 13th episode of the season would be titled Parting Shot, to be written by co-executive producer Paul Z and Michael Zinberg will be directing. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, nothing interesting. Look at the writing here. Hunter and Morse are ultimately written off the series in Parting Shot, both leaving S.H.I.E.L.D. as Palicki and Blood physically had to leave to shoot the pilot of Most Wanted, Bell explained. They had to stop being on S.H.I.E.L.D. and get ready for the pilot and then shoot the pilot and all of that. So it didn't make sense for us to have all these episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with them and then not have them in two or three episodes and then go, oh, we were just over here, and then come back and go away again. On the final scene in which the main cast silently farewell Morse and Hunter, Bell said, when Paul Z was pitching it in the room, he was getting choked up. We were in the room getting choked up, and then we all read it and we got choked up. At the table read, where everyone is saying goodbye, everyone is getting choked up there. And then on the day at the bar where we shot at, everybody was a mess. For Palicki and Blood, they were also leaving to go shoot the pilot. It wasn't just a pretend thing. These were people who had worked together for a couple of years and see each other every day and formed relationships. Yeah, this is a tough one to swallow that we're going to get into today. Before we even do any of that, I know that usually we have comments. David, did you have something to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, did they ever release the pilot?
No.
Not even like a background pilot?
No. Okay. They filmed. They shot a pilot and executives saw it, but they didn't care enough for it to actually greenlight it. That's just the thing that I guess there was just this presumption that at least at the time that they were writing the season and they were filming, that it was a sure bet that not only this would get picked up for a season, but maybe even multi-seasons.
Okay. Yeah.
Then for whatever reason, I guess it just didn't come together in the writing and it fell apart.
Should have at least released it as a background pilot. At the very least.
I would, yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree with you there, just to get an idea for what the show would be. You know, sometimes things work out, sometimes they don't. I do feel, though, maybe by the time they got around, by the time that Bobby and Hunter were already written off the show, I think the remainder of the season was practically finished. And then when we get to season four, see, ideally, it would have been nice to have brought them back But then again, this episode is actually really good, like, to close out their characters. Mm-hmm. It's just like, do you want to do that? And then at the same time, it's not like, I do feel like, and I have been saying this throughout the next few episodes, we are going to feel an absence. But in time, it's going to be replaced by other characters. Like, this show always adds in new characters, and so that kind of is what happens.
Yeah.
So it's tough.
You know how they could have brought them back? Remember Simmons as those two characters, the ones that are like were very, very new and always in the background to like protect the... Basically protecting their baby, but they didn't know it was their baby.
Yeah, so I think you're referring to Piper and Davis.
Yeah, I think they should have been there instead. I don't know how you could have worked it in, but I think you could have done
it. I think there were opportunities where they could have done so. I just don't know what happened. It seemed like to me, from what I was able to gather, Adrian Palicki, who plays Bobby, just was never available anymore to be on the show. I know that she had the Orville, which took up basically most of her time. And when they were filming season 7, I don't know what happened, but I'm sure that maybe was a factor in them not being back. But it would have been nice for those two to come back if you know, together. I know we do see Nick Blood as Hunter one more time anyway, way later in season 5, but... I know. It would have been amazing if they really brought them back.
If they were in that moment, especially when, you know, they revealed that they were protecting the baby the whole time, you know, their reactions could have been like, what the heck? Like, that's what we were protecting? Holy shit.
I know. That would have been cool. Maybe in a potential future revival, if that ever happens, which, again, don't ever hold your breath for that to happen. But if it ever does happen, it would be cool to see a lot of these faces come back. To that effect, before we move on to anything else that we usually cover, those S.H.I.E.L.D. fans, I think, would burn us at the stake if we didn't take some time of today's show to acknowledge what happened over the weekend. Chloe Bennett, and from what I was able to gather, at least also Jeff Ward too, were at some convention, and she was asked, you know, one of the usual questions that she's always asked is, hey, when is Quake coming back? When are we going to see that character again? And it's a question that I think all of us would like to have an answer to. I feel like maybe, look, there have been some pretty credible sources that have said her name was in the mix to come back. A lot's been changing at Marvel lately, so I don't know if that was going to happen at one point. I mean, it seemed pretty credible, at least in the beginning of like the rumor mill, that maybe it would make a lot of sense for a character like Daisy Johnson to be in a secret invasion project that alongside Coulson. I remember reading that like rumor that was released out there, but I guess at some point it was changed. Whatever the case there be, perhaps it was for the best that none of these wonderful characters were anywhere near these productions, considering how hellish they ended up being. So, again, there is that. But she was asked a question about, like, is she going to be in any future projects? And look, Chloe Bennett, I think, deserves a lot of credit for... like, she just has her opinions and she just, like, blurts it out there and doesn't care what happens. And I think it's just, like, her, like, attitude that just kind of, like, forgives it for people who otherwise would, like, be, especially with women stars, would be, like, crucifying, you know, for having opinions of other issues, as we've discussed on our show Red Spotlight for these last couple of months and years. But I remember it was sometime around between season 3 and season 4 at one of these conventions, Chloe Bennett actually said something to the effect that, I'm not sure if she used Kevin Feige's name, but I remember she said something about Marvel where it was like that Marvel doesn't care about our show. Do you recall that, David?
I don't remember that, but I can definitely see her saying that.
Yeah. I think I'm trying to find it where exactly it was at. I'm sure the clip is out there somewhere, and if somebody happens to have it, please go ahead. But it was at one of these, maybe it was at Comic-Con. I don't even know when it was, but she literally said, like, Kevin Feige or Marvel doesn't care about our show. Which I love her for that, because that is the truth. Mm-hmm. I mean, hey, not for nothing, that has been the truth for a long time. And I think for her, because I feel like with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cast members, they understand the small but active fan base they have. And, you know, I think they realized that, hey, our show is really putting out some great content here. And even though I guess nobody was allowed to say it out loud, looking back on it, they were kind of showing up anything Marvel Studios had to offer, like, pretty consistently. You know, they didn't have the budget, didn't have the spectacle, but they had the character. And they got the writing. They got growth. I mean, they got really important essential items that you think would be present in the cinematic universe of Marvel, and it necessarily wasn't the case, whether it be. Anywho.
I'm playing a bit. This isn't a joke. I don't know anything. They haven't asked me if they would. You know me. I can't keep a secret. I would tell you guys. No idea. We are not, like, considered canon. No! No, we are. Woo! Make some, like, weird random comeback, you know what I mean? Like, I think if it gets put on, like, another streamer thing, but as of now, no. And I agree I should have been in Secret Invasion, but I would probably been better.
I for sure would have enjoyed it more if she had shown up. Oh my god. But honestly, though, I feel like they would have just killed her off if she did come back on that show.
Oh, my God. They would have done something awful where it would have been unforgivable, which mm-hmm. is like, I mean, it would have been better just by having her presence be there. That's true. But, like, do you really trust these writers to, like, do anything meaningful with it? Mm-hmm. I mean.
No, I mean, the reason why.
Poor Maria Hill, man. Maria Hill did not deserve to go out that way.
Yeah, the reason why they killed her off is to add stakes to the show. And they were like, okay, well, I mean, this is a pretty big thing that we're doing. You know, we got to, like. Mm. You know, add some shock value to it. And if Chloe Bennett was in it, they'll probably ask themselves, okay, like, who's going to be least important, Quake or Maria Hill? And they would have chosen Quake because they didn't consider Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as a canon show. So they were like, all right, let's throw her away. And then that's it. For sure that would have happened. And then they probably.
I thought it was funny. That whole thing. She always has to get a dig in somewhere. It's like, yeah, I agree with you. I should have been in Secret Invasion. And then she's like, pause a little bit. Probably would have been better anyway. But it would have been better if I was in it. Which, hey, I didn't see Secret Invasion. Mm-hmm. You did. And from everything everyone says, and from what little I do know, it seemed pretty terrible.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. So maybe it was we dodged a bullet, literally, with that show and what it could have been. Because then it would have been like, you know, mm-hmm. that's the thing. And then she was talking about, like, this is the thing. A lot of the headlines from that clip was, Chloe Bennett says, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not canon. Which is not really what she was saying there. I mean, she's basically saying, first of all, our show's not considered canon by the people who make the MCU, is clearly what she was saying, first of all. And then she even says, I mean, she says, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't canon, even though we are. Just so she, like, says that, it's like, yeah, I mean, the show directly dealt with events that happened in the universe. It's like, it's really, of all the things to say are not canon to the MCU, it is and has been very offensive to claim that this isn't. And that's the way that it's been for a long time now. And then she throws the idea of, like, yeah, maybe we might have a revival at some point. We'll see. I think in the weeks to come, she is scheduled, I believe, to appear alongside Ming-Na Wen and Clark Gregg at a reunion panel, I think at New York Comic Con, if I'm not mistaken. So maybe that might be something we might want to watch or see if anything happens.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But it's cool. I did find an article here from May 15th, 2016. The headline, Chloe Bennett asks why the Marvel movies won't acknowledge the TV shows. I'm trying to find the direct quote for this. Well, I'm not, was it an interview? I thought it was at a panel. That's a really interesting thing to remember here, but okay, whatever. Okay, well, we know what happened. I'm not going to... Okay, it was a waste of time. Cool. Besides, I think we know how that would have gone down and everything. Yeah, I guess we'll see. And maybe at some point something might happen, maybe not.
Yeah.
But who knows? If anything comes up on our radar, or if any of our followers here... a regular community of commentators would like to share with us something they have seen. I know that I believe his name is Brad Winterbaum or whatever his name. He's the new guy in charge of like the TV stuff, which aside from Daredevil, I'm not even sure they're even doing TV shows anymore. Like I can't recall anything. But he has said some nice and favorable things about the show's legacy in recent years in interviews. So maybe something comes out of that. Who knows? But yeah, yeah. Before we go on to today's episode, I do actually want to, let's see here, go into the comments that we received from last time. Do we have comments from last time? I mean, yeah. Last time we recorded, it was from episode 11 or 12?
11.
Okay.
Yeah. I never put up 11 when we recorded 12. So we didn't have comments when we did 12. But now that okay. 11's up, we got comments for that. Okay. First one's from Serenity. Put in quotes, you're my new best friend, Daisy. My girl Yo-Yo is finally here. She is so fucking cool, and Natalia makes her immediately endearing. Other quotes. I'm Gemma Simmons, biochemist. Leopold Fitz, engineering. And more fallout from Killing Ward. Warner just got his memory powers, which I actually forgot about that for a second. I'm like, memory powers? Like, what the heck is he talking about? And I got
yeah.
But yeah. Cool. And then next one's from Gary Marshall. With all the comic characters to choose from and the constraint put on them by Marvel heads, the showrunners have a knack for picking exactly the right superhero for the roles they need to play. Quake, Mockingbird, yeah. And now Slingshot, Yo-Yo. As for future reactions to BTS AOS clips, the Dub Smash Wars, AOS versus Agent Carter, and the story behind Elizabeth and Chloe's babes, I found the churros spring to mind. But honestly, anytime this cast gets together is a whole load of fun. Okay.
All right. Thank you for the comment.
Yeah. But yeah, that's just those two.
Okay. Let me... Oh, gosh. It's a lot here. Let's just get into this episode,
right?
Because we're running out of time. There's a lot to get to. Okay, let's go ahead and press play in 3, 2, 1, and go. Previously on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. No, not a problem at all. I just love the sense of urgency that we're already beginning the episode with. It's like, yeah, Bobby and Hunter are like, we are, well, first of all, we have this structure here where we know in the future they're going to get captured. But as far as like continuing off from last week with Bobby and Hunter stowed away in Malik's convoy, just running after him, and then the team is already in place on the Zephyr, just ready to go.
That's funny. I don't know if I'm just like reading too much into it or something, but I don't know, just the way Fitz is like in charge sort of in this operation, I just see the difference between like his first season and this season and all that. I don't know, I just
No, it's a huge difference.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It just seems more confident in this moment right here versus where I feel like in the first season, he would be, like, fumbling a bit. Like, oh, yeah, I think, yeah, we see you right here. Yeah, you're good and all that. I don't know.
No, he's in his element right now. Like, yeah. He's really, like, grown in just, yeah. This is the thing about growth. It's, like, it's not just, like, how far they've come in seven seasons. But, like, I feel like season to season, you see the growth actually happen. And that's why I think, you know, looking back on it, it makes it such a masterful, you know, exercise in character development for a lot of characters. But I guess Fitz might be the most primary example of the one that has just grown the most. And he's still got plenty more to go. But you are right. If this was like season one Fitz, it'd be a lot more bumbling and, you know, kind of like wackadoodle stuff happening. But no, Fitz is just like in command. Because part of the original like thing with the first few episodes were like, not everybody on this team is ready to be on the team. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody is.
Yeah.
And they're flourishing. They're so good.
That was pretty far-fetched of a lie, though. It's like, they caught you literally spying on them. Come on.
Yeah, but people are idiots generally, right? Mm. Like, so it's like, you never really know. I mean, you have stormtroopers, right? It was far-fetched. I'm not saying you're wrong. But I was like, hey, you got to give it a try, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of, I'm pretty sure right now Yo-Yo is catching up on some English. So, hey, to Bobby's defense, you know. And I think Mac might be doing some Spanish because he wants to get closer to Yo-Yo. So that is happening behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Look on May's face. It's like, yeah, you're with me, all right. Oh, boy. How do you not laugh at that? Come on. This sounds dumb saying out loud, but there's no way that could possibly be legal, right? Like, he just fucking made shit up out of thin air. And they wonder why they got divorced?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
I mean, does she really? Oh, well, I mean, I was going to say, does she really need to read it? It's probably working like a regular. Like, it still have, should, the letter should be in the same place as like it would be in English, right? Unless I'm wrong.
I don't know, honestly.
I mean, maybe they could put it in different places, but I don't know. I don't want to interrupt that actor. He's so good.
I know.
Oh,
it's
my
hard.
God. Like the moment where he's just like, oh, I see what you guys want me to do now. It's just like, it's like, yeah. Coulson called it. It's like, psh, he's loving this, huh? Yeah. It's exactly
yeah,
what
he took
said.
It over completely.
Yeah. And then also too, like what I liked is just wrapping up everything that we've seen so far and only halfway through the episode. And you're kind of like, oh, shoot. Then what the heck is going to happen now? Like, okay, we know where this came from. Obviously they're gonna find a body and just pin it on them, but like there's still so many twists that are gonna happen. I just thought that was really, really cool.
No, for sure. I find myself in a hard situation always having to interrupt him, but he just commands your attention.
Yes.
He just commands the scene, even as he was like taking it away. It's like, okay, here's my part where I get to like yeah. And the idea of like him staging a coup to eliminate the Russian prime minister, that when I think Andropovich will become the new de facto prime minister and under Hive's sway, Hive would immediately have the means to annihilate the planet with freaking nuclear weapons. Like, that's pretty much what we're here to do. And he might even use those warheads to, because eventually he wants to make that inhuman cocktail. So that may be part of the plans that are being made right now. Man, these two. Took him long enough to apologize for that. It's been almost 10 episodes since that happened. Like, it's good that they felt the need to resolve this. Mm-hmm. And we know why they're doing it now because, well, this is the last episode.
Yeah.
Oops.
She's like, I don't care. It's all I know.
Man, this just seems getting worse.
Mm-hmm. I'm just loving this buildup, though. Oh, my God. Because you're thinking just kind of like, oh, you know, mission gone wrong. But you're just building these things over, up and up. And it just keeps making you guess like, yeah, what's going to happen next.
They keep getting hit with new things. Like, the Inhuman General and that power that we don't know what it is. Like, even this freaking shadow thing. Malik's already, like, taken off. Meanwhile, the Prime Minister's on his way. And
it's like, what do you prioritize here?
I mean, if the Prime Minister gets assassinated, that creates a whole other, like, rat's nest of problems mm-hmm. you don't want to have. Because then you have a Prime Minister assassinated by an Inhuman. Like, the ramifications of that. The way she
so sick. I think this is like the most I've laughed. This is the most I've laughed out loud in an episode.
Yeah.
Oh. God. God. Oh. good, man. Just everything about the whole thing. The dialogue. Yeah. I mean, dialogue, not so much, but like just the communication within each character. Like, you know, it just kept moving and moving. I love it. Also, I love the way that they fixed it. It wasn't just like this fight. It was just straight up, all right, we got to kill him. Too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which they don't pull that trigger all the time, but when they need to be pulled, they do it. Which is true.
Mm-hmm.
They've both had their times in the bench, and they're like, No, I think they did the best they could to really make it believable that Bobby and Hunter couldn't be here anymore when they bring in, like, the fucking Prime Minister of Russia and the President of the United States. It's like, you can't get any higher than that. You know, that's, like, pretty intense. Coulson's not playing around here. Mm-hmm. He's like,
I mean, it really is the best option for them. So, it sucks, but, you know, at least there's that. They're free to go.
Can we just take the time also just, you know, that whole cast right there on the Zephyr, like, all those actors, what an incredible job just doing, because it really, the looks on their faces was just like, are you kidding me right now? Is this really happening?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they were hearing it for the first time, this was their last episode. Like, what the hell?
I like how they caught
this piece of news, yeah.
Wait, I like how they caught the Russian spy, but they didn't catch their own people.
Yeah. That's cool, right? I always just thought that this was a really nice way to, you know, bid adieu to these two. I think everybody on this team, in front of and behind the camera, realized that these two characters specifically did a lot to help save this show. And not that it needed saving, but, like, these two characters were such a huge part of season two that they were just instantaneously memorable and lovable for their own. And I know we have some people who would not necessarily care mm-hmm. for one of these characters. Sure, that's fine. But, like, it's a really emotional moment for, you know, the S.H.I.E.L.D. fans that have been through it, and season two really turned everything around in a way we couldn't think possible. And to think that now we're going to lose these two? Like, they added so much. Mm-hmm. And to think that the show is going to continue without them just feels, as the characters themselves are feeling right now in this scene, that this is just so very wrong. And then that one kills me the most. Mm-hmm. Just refusing to just drop that glass. Of course, it would make sense for Mac to feel it the most because he has known them far longer than anybody else.
Freaking Bear McCree, man. He's so good.
Right, that music. Oh, my God. So good. Always finds the right music to use. Mm. I get the need, because it is S.H.I.E.L.D., to have these tags at the end of the episode. I do feel, if it were me, I wouldn't have even included a tag. Mm. I would have just like cut the credits and then end the episode.
For real.
Only because like you're left with that feeling, and that's how you want to be left with, you know? This is not a bad scene. You know, mm-hmm. we're introducing Malik's daughter, but like we could have used this elsewhere if we needed it at all.
I mean, I can't remember how the next one goes about exactly, but this would have been cool to start off with on the next episode, to be like, oh my gosh, all right, we're getting moving to the main plot now or something like that, you know? Or like, we're moving faster to like take at least him out, Malik.
Yeah. Because I do feel at this point, we all know in the back of our minds, Hive is already making moves behind Malik's back, so it's only a matter of time before things really start to like bite him in the ass. Mm-hmm. It just feels inevitable because, behind the scenes, behind Malik's back, he's already turned, I think, Yara against him. So there's that. Oh, man, what an episode.
No, yeah. And then one thing I forgot to bring up the freaking world building in this show. Like, the details that they get brought about, like, okay, this is the only option that, or, like, only good option that we have for these two characters. We can't, you know, both the leaders of these countries, we can't bring more strife into it. The fact that, you know, we're still supposed to be a hidden organization, and if they know what we're doing, it's just gonna break for sure and all that. Like, you just don't, I don't know, it's big for this show and all that, but I feel like if it was within the MCU, it's just a small little world building thing that you just don't see it though in the movies, and I wish we would. I mean, the fact that we couldn't get a freaking answer as to what the fuck happened with the cords after Endgame. I don't know.
Weren't they like remember in She-Hulk, they're like, oh yeah, those are overturned.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when was it? That? When okay. did that? Yeah.
You know what would have been so cool if they did with She-Hulk? If you know, you had Banner training her to like control her powers and all that, and she very much doesn't want to use her powers at all. Like, she wants to be normal. My thing that kept popping up is like, it would have been really cool if he tells, like, gives like this little speech of like saying, we want you to help out, you know, like the people with powers, like just some things that are changing within this world, because like, you know, they need a lawyer, they need like some sort of advisor or something like that. And it would have been cool for her because, you know, maybe she has some skills that can bring about, plus she also has powers. And he definitely needs her specifically because it's like the world's changing. Like, we not just because of what happened with the snap, but because of what we did bring people back. Like, it's just causing a little bit of chaos that we should have thought about when, you know, we brought everyone back. And then maybe she asked this question of like, it's not so much like, well, why did you bring people back or something like that? Like, and you know, just kind of asks like, well, you did a good thing bringing people back. And he can give like a comment saying, I wanted my cousin back. Maybe she disappeared during the blip or something like that, you know? And it's just like, he could have added this thing. It's like, it's a mix of like character building between the two of like how their relationship works, but also world building, which is what the show was doing basically, you know, too. You know, it wasn't world building. It was mostly just moving along with the plot, but like the way they would communicate with each other to like, you know, assess the situation and all that. That's just good writing.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. I do wonder though how this episode was received. I think we may have some divide of opinion here, even though I always thought it was like pretty great. I think it's a great episode for sure. There's no, I mean, just I can't think of anything that happened here that I didn't like, you know? So mm-hmm. It's like,
oh, yeah.
I think it all worked really, really well. I'm going to go ahead and read some reviews here and let's see what happens. This is Eric Goldman at IGN. He's saying that it was a decent episode, but it also felt like some of the issues Bobby and Hunter were having, well, really more Hunter, had been rushed over the course of a couple of episodes in order to help set up their exit on an emotional level, even as circumstances forced it to actually happen. Credit to Nick Blood and Adrian Palicki, who have always had a nice banter as this duo and did a lot of the heavy lifting to sell more of the history here, as they discussed the vacations they'd never taken, and Hunter expressed more skepticism after last week about S.H.I.E.L.D.'s methods in general. The action in this episode was top-notch, as Daisy and Bobby teamed to fight what I wrote in my notes looked like Melisandre's smoke baby, from what in fact was in fact sentient Dark Force, entertainingly using Dark Force again after it played such a huge role in Agent Carter season 2. That's right. When they mentioned Dark Force, it's like a light bulb went up in my head, and I'm like, where have I heard that before? And yes, that was the main antagonist in season 2 of Agent Carter, for those that don't remember that. As for the emotional ending, well, it was big and emotional, even though it went a bit too far. Maybe it's partially affected by the reality of the situation stepping on the storyline. Bobby and Hunter may be disavowed and forced to leave, but we know they're getting a spinoff. Don't be so sad. Well, that didn't happen. So this was, yeah, this was kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
That was Eric Goldman at IGN. Here is Alex McLevy at AV Club. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Delivers a great episode and a terrible decision for the series. Mea culpa. I've been fairly insistent about the fact that last year's aborted Mockingbird spinoff would teach ABC a lesson, namely that getting rid of Lance Hunter and Bobby Morse is a terrible plan. True. The network's been making noise about a new spinoff for a while now, and has continued emphasizing that it wants to go forward with the Mr. and Mrs. Smith-esque idea, Marvel's Most Wanted, with the ex-spouses fighting and cracking wise on their own series. It's easy to see how that's an appealing idea for ABC, the kind of frothy fun that's right up its alley. It's harder to see how anyone could possibly think it's not a wretched move for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Nick Blood has become the indisputable comic center of the show, a breezily engaging actor whose charisma has made Lance Hunter come alive over the past season and a half. Hunter's one of the only consistently reliable delivery systems for the type of simultaneously frenetic and funny action S.H.I.E.L.D. specializes in. He elevates the subpar material and becomes electric when given a strong script. To lose him is to tear Xandar away from Buffy, or pull Cisco from The Flash, or yank Mad Dog Murdoch off of the A-Team. It sacrifices one of the strongest elements of a series for the sake of some corporate synergy. Getting rid of him would be idiotic. It would be as dumb as the show to lose Bobby Morse. It's especially unfortunate that the two have been abruptly packed off following the conclusion of this week's escapade, because it was an excellent showcase for the for S.H.I.E.L.D.'s strengths, where forward momentum and the aforementioned funny, frenetic excitement was on full display. Parting Shot tracked Bobby and Hunter's infiltration of the Soviet base, where Petrov hopes to enlist Malik into helping him set up the secure space for Inhumans. The structure of the episode is smartly built. The back and forth between Hunter and Bobby's subsequent interrogations and the mission itself allowed the tension to build, both in the anxiety over who might be harmed during the fight and the uncertain outcomes of our two heroes. Each tease was well-timed and paid off later in the episode. From the biotech imprisoned Inhuman, later revealed to be General Androvich, to Bobby's suspicion that Malik had captured them, only for it to be revealed that President Alice and Prime Minister Olsenko were watching behind glass the entire time, this installment unfolded with clockwork precision and effectiveness. The only real criticism comes from the show again cloaking its fight scenes in darkness and cutaway shots, meaning much of the action felt a little abbreviated, a common enough issue for the show, but one that especially wasn't needed here, as Palicki, Blood, and even Chloe Bennett, however brief her scenes were, showed up in fine form and ready to kick ass. Oh, and guess who showed up to fight just in time to get knocked out again? Nice work, Mac. Damn. Gideon Malik not only revealed a few more pieces of his plan here, he articulated the connection to the larger MCU with Captain America Civil War coming up. But frankly, everyone else took a big backseat this week as Parting Shot functioned as a goodbye for Bobby and Hunter. Emotionally, it grounded the two of them and reaffirmed their connection. Coulson may have stressed how neither one broke under pressure, but the look in Bobby's eyes when the Interpol agent threatened her bow conveyed all the information we needed. Seeing her fear at this fate cemented the pairs in fallibility, which makes it all the worse that this was their swan song. And if that moment wasn't enough, Bobby doesn't bat an eye when she makes the decision to kill the general rather than allow the slightest chance for the shadow force to hurt Hunter. And Hunter's dramatic beats are just as potent. Making amends with May, asking Bobby for a vacation, and some of her best interrogation responses of all time, "Do you want to know our secret, Porcini Mushrooms?" makes this a classic Lance episode. For a while, I was worried he was going to be killed tonight, and he was basically given every single crowd-pleasing emotion to play prior to the end twist. But no, instead, the two are being spun off into their own show, which, though it has yet to be decided, looks like a dim-witted and unintentional effort by the network to kill Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., or at least wound it, possibly irreparably. This is a rather interesting assertion that Alex is making in this review, because I feel like I had a similar theory 2 years later about the Inhumans spinoff show or the Inhumans TV show. And if you remember, when it was announced that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 5 would be delayed to make space for the big IMAX event in Humans that would then be on ABC, I immediately was like, I see what you bitches are up to. You're trying to find a new shiny toy. Because I feel like, look, to be fair, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. didn't have the best of ratings. And maybe they thought, well, we may not get that far with this show any longer, but maybe we can find a way to squeeze what value there is left into its own thing. the beauty in that is if that was what they were trying to do, they just kept failing and failing. Because that Inhumans TV show was an abomination. It was so bad. And then the other thing is that at the same time, earlier in the year, The Defenders came out, which was disappointing. Iron Fist came out, which was not great. So it's like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is the thing that everybody seemingly wanted to die, just kept benefiting from everything else blowing up around it. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing thing to experience. But that's I'm going to read it again, this little thing here. I did not consider that, but maybe it could be. A dim-witted and unintentional effort by the network to kill S.H.I.E.L.D. or at least wound it, possibly irreparably. One of the reasons Season 2 was such a turnaround in terms of quality was the addition of these characters. And to ship them off after just one season of solidifying the series is a potentially severe destabilization of all the goodwill and narrative richness the show has earned over the past year. There are a few upsides to a smaller cast, primarily a chance to give everyone attention and stop the regular marginalization of major characters and servicing of giving everyone some playing time. But sacrificing two of the best and most rewarding members of the team is a disastrous way of achieving this. That realization made the farewell ceremony all the more powerful, as Lance and Bobby looked around and saw one by one each member of the team raise a shot glass and toast their beloved agents, tears began to flow. Off screen as well, I should admit. Alex talking about himself. It was a beautifully understated and powerful send-off for this duo, and it took its time, allowing everyone to have a moment in a way the show almost never grants, at least to characters not named Fitz and Simmons. It's as though the writers were saying what the show couldn't, that these two will be deeply missed, and without them, everyone else feels a little less happy and a little more uncertain about the future to come. We should note, though, Jed Whedon, Marissa Tancher-Rowan, Jeffrey Bell, Jeff Loeb, constantly on this show have to work against decisions that they themselves would rather not make. Mm-hmm. It was not their choice to write off Bobby and Hunter. It was a decision made for them. So when situations like this happen, you do the best you can. Mm-hmm. And still somehow, when they are tasked with something as thankless as this, they end up turning around something that is still remarkable. It is an outstanding episode and a beautiful send-off. Like, you honestly couldn't have asked for a better send-off than what we got. Mm-hmm. And this was despite the fact that they would rather have not made that call. So, since last time I had a little bit of a hard time speaking, I wanted to get that out of the way with. That way we can close today with Ami. That way he can talk and I can not do that. Because most of my job is to speak. And when we're recording this at 10:33 at night, it is not my best efforts. So with that being said, David, let's go ahead and go to Ami.
If this is like the goodbye for them, I mean, as like I said, as far as agents are concerned, you know, they can't operate with S.H.I.E.L.D. We've said goodbye to some people before that had to leave, but they found some ways to kind of weasel them back in for certain special occasions in the future while we're rotating them out of the main party. You know, I mean, I guess like if worse things come to worse, like, you know, they could be called back in for something desperate or whatever, but they just can't. They didn't have to burn them, thankfully, but they did have to disavow them. So that was interesting to see how that all came out. You know, they were definitely building something up, and I thought it was going to be one of them, primarily, I think, Hunter. Like, especially after that conversation with May, what I was expecting was for him to take the fall to trade. You know, like, because that conversation with May, you had to be willing to put the greater good above your love and your loved ones and anything of the sort. Can't be about yourself, about your own feelings, about these things that he was trying to resolve, like that stuff, like with the Andrew situation and Ward. And that was always his kind of thing about, like, his odd man outness with the rest of the group, you know, because he was very much so, yes, he was part of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now, but he would always put everybody else above the mission if it came down to it. This is the one time where he didn't, but he also, it was a choice that both he and Bobby took. Thankfully, it didn't land either one of them in prison, because I thought that was going to be the outcome. I didn't think they were going to get out of that situation, but they were going to just take the fall because there was no other way to protect their friends. And it'd be that thing where, like, they saved everybody, but they would never be able to be together again or whatever, get that vacation they kept talking about, the fact that they've never taken one. Thankfully, bittersweet element end of it, they got to get that very thing. They got their freedom, thankfully, but they just cannot be associated with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They can't be associated with S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore. Not that S.H.I.E.L.D. exists, even though everybody seems to be, like, fully aware that it does. They just can't officially say that it does or confirm that it does. They can't be seen in active duty or anything like that. They had to play this like they just did this of their own accord and not on the behalf of any agency, just out of the goodness of their hearts as ex-agents. And they had to be cut loose based on that. But because of that, they can just no longer associate with any of these agencies either or be seen to do as such. It just sucks, man. Like the whole thing, like with them trying to build a sanctuary state for the Inhumans, likening it to the reservations for Native Americans and all that. And they were like, hey, look for the good it did for the Native American community. Now, while that is true, but it's only good in the fact that it was getting them away from the problem of being slaughtered by the very same people that pushed them out of their land and blocked them into this designated area to where they are allowed to live freely and of their own accord. In the long term, is it better than death? Yes. But the thing is, you're still forcing them into a pocket of your own choosing and against their will. You know, in this situation, they're offering it as like a retreat, not a retreat, but like a, hey, if your place isn't going to accept you here, you can come here, more of a refugee camp. But the way he pitched it, like it was this grand, like, gesture of humanity to do what we did with the Native Americans, when I don't know that I could see it like that. To me, like, I just see that as like, you know, like when an antivirus company creates a virus that specifically only theirs can filter or target. You create the problem and then present your solution to the problem you created, still your fault, you know? Like, it all still is, like, I don't know. I just didn't like that association of what they were trying to do and the way they downplayed the institution of these reservations and stuff like that. But maybe I just misread that situation, but that's how I took it. Either way, it's Malik, and we're not supposed to like anything he says. Fuck Malik. Because of these differing ideologies of what to do with the Inhumans, the Prime Minister had this hit put on him by this Inhuman who could basically create this shadow entity that could operate fully on its own sentience. And that was going to be a trap that he was being lured into, so they could basically overthrow the government themselves and get exactly what they wanted out of all of this. Thankfully, we intervened, stepped in, took out that Inhuman, prevented the assassination. It didn't go very smoothly, which resulted in everything with Bobby and Hunter. But in the end of the day, we won, but we kind of lost. You know, again, for the greater good, we had to make a sacrifice. And just the send-off, this spy's goodbye, was just so heartbreaking. But at the same time, extremely sweet. Like, in the way that the only way that they could say goodbye in public, you know, even though they were being spied on by a completely different agency, just right across the way. And I feel like they were not being as subtle as one might think. But I guess that's not the point. It was a beautiful send-off all the same. Now we got introduced to Malik's daughter here to kind of fill in the roster, I guess. I mean, we're introducing the new characters we are supposedly saying goodbye to, so it's like we're trading them out. So I assume we'll get more screen time with her as she starts to be like, hey, when do I get to meet our big alien boss? She's like, I know what he wants. To change the world. That was just the veiledest, vaguest. I mean, that's the extent of what he knows. That was such a nothing statement, but it was meant to sound cool. Fucking Hydra, man. They keep sprouting up. Is there anything I'm missing in this episode? I don't really think that there is. It was very contained. It was very zeroed in on this narrative. And yeah, I don't know, man. This was so sad, man. I do that final moments when it finally the realization was setting in. I mean, at least they get to kind of go on their vacation as they were planning there at that bar. You know, they were talking about different places they could go. And while they would still be watched for probably the entirety of their lives, they are still going to at least be able to spend this time together and finally do the things they've always wanted to do or talked about doing. I don't know. It's sad. I was tearing up, man. I had like a one just creeping all the way down. I don't know if it made it onto the camera at all, but like, yeah, it's effective. It was very, very effective. But man, it's going to be weird not seeing them again, if that is the case. That's the situation with everybody else. You know, we lost Trip like we did. And, you know, eventually we move on just like in real life. You know, losses, they come and they go. And we just kind of keep on keeping on. Anyway, guys, fantastic episode. Bittersweet as hell. Emotional as hell.
You want to think, of course, Ami for that great observation as usual. Now the real test begins, and we're gonna find out for ourselves in these next few weeks what it's gonna be like to have this show without them being in it.
Mm.
Which has not happened since the end of season one. Which was the long ass time ago, if you can remember that. Mm-hmm. So that's gonna be something. Any last thoughts before we close today, David?
Not really. It's a good episode. Fast paced, great moments with all the characters, especially in the last scenes. I can't remember how I felt the first time I watched it. I think I was just kind of like, they got to come back somehow or something like that. I think that's always my mindset.
Sure.
For some of these things.
Because they do this often in shows like this, you know?
Yeah,
they,
for sure.
They have a big spectacle of them being made to leave, but at some point in the back of your mind, you're like, yeah, they'll be back, though.
Mm-hmm. So it was cool rewatching it with, you know, everything going on. And I think it mainly just hit me more with Bobby, because she was just the biggest defender of the whole team, you know?
Yeah.
Anytime, I'm trying to remember the moment in the second season where I think she was defending Simmons. Something like that. I don't know. She defended everyone, no matter what.
Yeah, she really did.
Choices
yeah.
they made and all that. And that was really cool. So yeah, for sure. I missed her. I would miss her the most. Now, with this rewatch, I mean, Hunter, you know, he's funny. He got some great laughs out of me in this episode. But understandable for the people who, like, dislike him, that they probably didn't feel anything about it. It's just kind of like, yeah, I mean, Hunter, yeah. I like him, but he really is just, like, the funny character. So there's not much, sadly.
All right, then. Well, we're going to go ahead and end it off there. Thank you all for watching and listening, and catch us back here next time, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.